Chapter 8 Mountain Trek. The next day, Julie and Neil go to Nutu's grandfather's hut. It is dark inside, and a small fire is making a lot of smoke. Nutu's grandfather sits and looks at the fire for a long time. No one speaks. Then the old man begins to talk. Nutu translates. This is what he tells them.
This story begins a long time ago. The world is young, and the gods live on the Crystal Mountain in the center of the forest. They are tall and strong. They have golden skin and golden hair. They have special magic powers. They make a marvelous city in the heart of the mountain, and they live there in peace for many years. But then some of the young gods are tired of this remote place. They want to see the rest of the world. They leave the Crystal Mountain and go away for many years. When they return, they are different. They are aggressive and dishonest. They are lazy and polemical. Eventually, there is a terrible war between the young gods and the old gods, and the young gods are sent away. To preserve their paradise intact, the old gods hide the Crystal Mountain behind an enormous wall of ice and go to sleep under the snow. That is how the Crystal Mountain was lost.
Here Nutu's grandfather pauses.
That's a nice story, Nutu. But why is he telling it to us?
Asks Julie.
He say mountains dangerous because there is magic there,
replies the boy.
You mean the Rowenzori Mountains, where we are going?
Asks Neil.
Is the magic there because the gods lived there in the past?
Yes, and because live there now,
adds Nutu. Julie looks at Neil.
What does he mean?
She asks.
I don't know. Perhaps the pygmies sometimes see climbers or scientists in the mountains. A lot of people go to the Rowenzori range to climb Mount Stanley. Perhaps they think they are gods,
replies Neil. Nutu takes something from his pouch and puts it in Neil's hand. It is a tiny silver eagle, a sort of talisman.
What is it, Nutu?
Asks Julie.
Come from old gods. Is magic. Protect you,
he replies. Neil looks curiously at the silver object. It seems familiar.
Can your grandfather take us to these gods?
He asks.
Please, it's very important.
Nutu says,
Grandfather not want go, but he tell me the way. I take you.
That morning, the three leave the pygmy camp. They follow a stream for many hours through the jungle. In the afternoon, the forest begins to change. There are less trees and more bushes. There are a lot of giant ferns. The track that Nutu follows goes uphill. Julie and Neil are tired and they want to stop, but Nutu says no. They must continue walking. They walk all afternoon. They leave the forest behind them, and now they are walking between giant bamboo plants. There are giant heather bushes, too, and strange thorny plants which they don't recognize. It is raining, and a soft mist covers everything. It is very, very quiet. The ground under their feet is wet, like a big sponge. The air is cold, and they are all drenched.
What a strange place,
whispers Julie.
It doesn't seem like Africa at all.
There's a type of bog on the low slopes of the Rowenzori Mountains,
replies Neil.
I remember it from the guidebook. This must be it. That means that we are at about 3,000 metres.
I hope that we find a climber's camp or a research station soon,
says Julie.
I don't like it here.
The track goes up and up. The landscape changes again. There are no trees now, only the heather bushes, and they are walking on rocks covered with moss. The fog is very thick, and it's easy to get lost, so they stay near Nutu.
Where are we going, Nutu? Is it far now?
Julie asks.
We must go Big Ice,
replies their guide.
Big Ice? You mean a glacier?
Asks Neil. But Nutu doesn't hear. He is already far in front of them. Near evening, they come to a wide valley. There are no plants here, only rocks and gravel. There isn't any mist now. The last of the sunlight shines on the snow of the mountain summits. In front of them, there is an enormous wall of green ice, the glacier. Nutu walks towards it. He studies it for a long time. Then he starts to climb up the ice wall. Evidently, he's searching for something. Then he waves urgently to Neil and Julie, turns towards the ice again, and suddenly disappears.